The History of Personal Computing.
History of Personal Computing. The History of Personal Computing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the History of Personal Computing podcast. I'm David, and I'm joined by Jeff as normal. This is the show where we take an informal look at personal computing history, normally through the lens of eBay auctions. But this time it's different, because now we're going to be talking about the recent Vintage Computer Festival East, and then 2 weeks prior to Vintage Computer Festival Southeast. I'm already off text here. Anyway, the show is sort of like the Antiques Roadshow program, but all about antique personal computers. But anyway, back to that. So well, how are you doing, Jeff?
Well, you know, you just defined me as normal, and I'm going to take offense to that.
Well, as normal, it's you and me. It did not sound like true. That.
No, I was just joking.
And the rest.
That's right.
How about we should start doing it that way? I'm David and the rest.
That'll work. Yeah. You don't need top billing very often, do you?
If anyone doesn't know that reference, it's you know that reference, right, Jeff?
Yes.
So I think during the first season of Gilligan's Island, that was and Gilligan, the professor, too, right? And then and then they said, and the rest, which there was...
The professor was one of the rest.
Oh, okay, yeah. And then they wanted equal billing, so then they... And starting the second season, they named everybody.
You may have top billing here for this.
But, oh, thanks.
Now I know I'm the tallest one.
Oh, you ruined a joke. I was going to actually make a joke about that. I was going to say, I thought you were a lot taller in real life, you know, but really you're just sort of short and stubby with dark hair.
I'm getting stubby, that's for sure. I got to do something about that.
And by the way, the only reason my name's first in a lot of cases is because D comes before J. That's all.
It works for me.
It's alphabetical.
It's kind of... I don't need that kind of grandeur in my life. It's not saying it's a good or bad thing. It's just that it never bothered me.
But yes, you're taller than me. A lot of other people are. So, but you can see that in some pictures. So, well, and I tweeted the picture. We did. So,
I missed that.
You didn't see the picture? Tweeted it from our Twitter feed.
I've been busy. Right after the show, me too. I had to go to a work related. What do they call those? A retreat, I guess.
It was, wow.
For lack of a better word, it was a staff retreat. That was for an additional 2 days. Yeah, so I was out, since Friday afternoon. I wasn't at home Friday afternoon and all the way till Tuesday, late afternoon. That's when I got back home.
You came back, there was a duplicate you? They're taking your place.
And all my stuff was stolen and replaced with an exact replica.
Another movie reference.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. TV right, movie reference. Down to the last floppy disk. Actually, I don't know if that was a movie reference, but it was also Stephen Wright, the comedian.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So unless he stole it from the movie.
The movie I'm thinking of is a Schwarzenegger movie, like with about the clones and Mars, I think, and stuff.
Oh, that...
Yeah. Final Recall or Total Recall?
Total Recall. Total.
Yeah.
That's right. Very similar reference. But yeah, the exact reference was Stephen Wright, where he talks about how he came home one day and realized that everything in his apartment was stolen, replaced with an exact replica. Told his friend, he said, "Do you see this? All this happened." And his friend goes, "Who are you?"
I remember that now. I remember that bit. That was a good one.
It was a very good one.
Stephen Wright, he also had one that still sticks with me after all these years where he'd go, I once got a packet of instant water, but I didn't know what to add to it.
Yep.
Or something like that. All right. So we both went to Vintage Computer Festival East, which was, this will be airing on Friday, April 22nd. So it was last weekend. And that was kind of a sudden thing for me. I was able to go with some of the guys from the Atlanta Historical Computing Society, so that was fun. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Yeah, so we'll talk about, and then I, of course, here in my own area, went to VCFSE 2 weeks prior to that. So we're going to talk about these two recent shows, and then in 2 weeks we'll get back on our normal track. And we were delayed because we really intended to do the show together because we were meeting each other for the first time in person, but it just turned out to be too loud. And Jeff had to stay. You had to stay at your booth.
Yeah, it was too loud for me. I was like, you know, sitting in my booth all curled up, sucking my thumb. That's how bad it was.
And so too many people have sticky fingers at VCF East.
Yeah. Nobody played with the computer I had on my table with Dorito-laced hands like they did 2 years ago.
Did they really?
Yeah, 2 years ago with my TI-99 setup. I put Flappy Birds on it, and it was very popular with the kids who came through. And I guess they allowed food through the event at that time. Some kid with Doritos all over his fingers was playing with the computer, playing Flappy Birds.
You know, I hadn't really put that together. I guess you're right. There really, there is no food or drink in the show, is there?
I think the exhibitors are able to eat something, but, you know, try to be discreet.
Yeah. Well, they had a nice little picnic area, which worked out really well. So, but anyway, we'll get into that. So
I wasn't allowed to bring the hibachi. That's another Stephen Wright reference.
So before we get into, you know, talking about the two different shows and some of the particulars and pros and cons and comparison and contrast and so on, how about a little bit of a what's up? A little bit of what's up news? What's up with you?
Well, my what's up news is a personal thing. Being at the VCF East, I got a hold of I can never pronounce his last name right. David Geswain or whatever, Geswain. He's actually a regular for the InfoAge group that meets every once in a while to discuss vintage computers. But he was there with his Ohio Scientific C2, which is a big 6502-based. It's an S100-like computer. It's in a big cage, but it's not an S100. It's just got backplane and then boards that connect to the backplane. But it has an 8-inch disk drive. And I've been holding on to 8-inch floppy disks for over 20 years for a similar model Ohio Scientific C2.
Didn't know if they worked.
OEM.
Huh?
I didn't know if it worked. I never. My C2 OEM is one huge piece of hardware. It weighs like 80 or 90 pounds with the power supply and the linear power supply and everything. And I never really had room to set it up. So I never bothered setting it up. But I had the disks for a long time. So I brought those disks. I got with David earlier. Too many Davids here. I got with David G earlier.
That's me too.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's in German. It would be like Geswein. Geswein, I think. No, but whether he says it.
David G. E.
Or Geswein. Geswein.
Just say. I'm sure if he listens to this, hopefully he'll email me and let me know.
David, tell
anyway,
us.
All those discs worked.
Cool.
I couldn't believe it. They were that resilient. The way I've been storing them, I had stored them in like a storage locker or storage place that would go hot and cold over the years. And I've stored it in other places, damp areas. Now they all work. And now it's my incentive to get my C2 OEM out and do something with it.
Well, between now and next year, you can torture test them.
Well,
and then try it out. Try it again.
True. Yeah, I should just put them right above my boiler in the basement. But I inadvertently left a box of those discs with him, and he's down in the Maryland area, I guess closer to D.C. than I am to Baltimore. So it'd be a long drive for me to go pick him up. I didn't realize until then that he does stuff with the InfoAge group with. It's not March anymore.
It's the Federation Midwest.
I'll just call it the Federation.
Well, this event, no, they're the Midwest chapter of the Vintage Computer Federation.
Vintage Computer Federation.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I might do then sometime is maybe not their next meeting, but the second or third meeting after that, I'll probably just pack up my C2 and drive out there since it'll be a bit of a drive. And maybe there they can help me get it all running. And I can also pick up my discs at the time so I don't need them right away. So
cool.
it was almost like, you know, the universe set me up to do this.
Yeah, and you know, did we I'm going blank here a second. Did we interview Evan?
We did not. He was busy.
We didn't have Evan on. Okay.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. Not at the show, but we did interview him.
No, right. On our show. On our show. We did, didn't we?
Yes.
Oh, how long ago was that? Was that just before the show?
Let's see here. I actually have the webpage up.
So. I don't remember.
Yeah, I thought you meant, did we interview him?
I have to re-listen. I'm bad.
Oh. Did we interview him and not post it?
No.
Oh, wait. Hang on. Let me go to the podcast section here.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, so I'll move into my news. So
yes, we did it on, let's see what date this was.
Like maybe February or something then, right?
Yeah, I'm loading it up right now.
Okay, so lots happened since then.
Yeah, we've done the Compact Desk Pro, the Next Computer, Osborne One, and Atrona Attaché, and the interview with Oscar Vermeulen.
Right. But not Evan. Koblitz.
Evan Koblitz was before those.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway, so because that's some interesting topics about the Vintage Computer Federation.
February 12th.
Okay, and I don't remember what all we talked about in it. I guess we talked about the show.
Over from March to
the yeah.
And so, a little bit of the history.
Because that's a bit of an interesting topic. So, you know, if you're somewhere and you don't have a club and you don't have a show, you know, you could always start your own. Absolutely. And name it whatever you want. But basically what they've done is created a nonprofit. And so you could have your own.
Create a subchapter.
Chapter of the Vintage Computer Federation. And then, for lack of a better term, kind of have a it's like a franchise sort of the Vintage Computer Festivals.
Yeah, but I'm sure it is a very formal process in that you'll probably have to
produce
an offering or give them a shrubbery.
And it's something like so the two main shows that are associated are of course VCF East and then the first one in 9 years now called the VCF West, where it was just called the VCF originally. So those are connected, but like our show here. And then the Midwest show, Southeast and Midwest show, we're not affiliated per se. And so it's something for us to consider. Anyway, so going back so my big news, and this happened just a little over a month ago, and I kind of wanted to get into the job more before I said anything or announced it or whatever, is I actually work for Lonnie Mims, who's the big collector and founder of the Computer Museum of America here in the greater Atlanta area, Roswell to be specific. And that's pretty cool. So I spent my first 2 weeks just gearing up and helping getting the venue all ready for the show. And then now we're gearing up to actually start opening and be a real museum. So we'll be opening 2 Saturdays a month starting next month.
So for 2 weeks, you had to learn what a computer was.
Yeah, had to learn all that stuff about old computers. So I am now a computer historian as my job.
And that's what you wanted to be for the longest time, if I recall.
Yeah. So it's pretty amazing. There's lots of exciting things ahead. One of our big projects over the, you know, between now and through the summer is to create an inventory and a tag and, system. I'm going blank here. Category. That's not what I wanted to say. Catalog system, you know, and tagging and so on. So know what everything he's got and where it is and make sure things are cleaned and processed. And so that's a big job.
You going to run that DBase 2 on an Osborne?
See, that would be appropriate, wouldn't it?
That would be perfect. Yeah, you should do that. Try that.
But there'll be some updates soon. But if you've never been, go to computermuseumofamerica.com. And that's the website for the museum. And the current venue, which is in the CompUSA, former CompUSA, is temporary. It's been there 3 years, and it's the interim museum, I call it. And, not exactly sure when the new one will happen, but it'll be a newer, even more professional space down the road. So it's all very exciting.
Be 2.0.
And I got some great exhibit ideas that I think Lonnie likes, and I'm real excited about that sort of stuff.
Well, it's really good to hear that you're finally living your dream, that you've always liked being a computer historian, and now you have a paid platform.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And during the show, I was able to, give a few walking tours and stuff like that. So that's really great. That's the dessert topping or whatever, the whole thing.
You got to wear the staff badge.
Yeah. So let's talk about the shows then. So
You first.
Yeah, and I guess we'll go in date order. So actually, let's reverse it. You know what? I put it in date order, well, except for the Europa. But actually, since we just came from the East, let's actually talk about it because it's more fresh in our mind.
It's work to the past, then work to the future from this point in time.
Yeah, so again, that was just this past weekend, April 15th and 17th, VCF East. It's in New Jersey, Wald, New Jersey, to be exact, and which is near the shore. And I don't know how else to describe where it is.
It's at the Camp Evans site, the old Army Camp Evans site.
Yeah, very historic site, the Info Age Science Center. Let me click on there, in fact. And so a lot of other great stuff. They also have some other museums on the site. So there's the first thing we can sort of talk about is
the Surfing Museum.
Surfing Museum, the Radio Museum, the World War II Museum, and the Maritime Museum. And
Shipwreck Museum.
I didn't get to spend as much time as I wanted to really look at everything, but I got the look, you know, pretty decently. I got a good, you know, overview. And so that was pretty neat. But, you know, very different venues. So the VCF SE is in a former CompUSA, and it was a regional corporate headquarters. So there's also the offices that became the Apple Pop-Up Museum. And so the show is in a big open space, right? CompUSA. And yeah. And there, well, you describe it. It's in the former sort of like old building in different rooms.
Yeah, there's two buildings. One of them looked like it may have been, well, it could have been a barracks area, but it looks more like a small meeting area. And then there's like almost like a warehouse section, cement floor and, you know, walls that are painted olive.
So I really liked it. I have to admit that the venue of VCF East, there's a certain coziness about it, which I have to admit I really like. It's not that I certainly like our show fine in the CompUSA space. So,
and then the talks with the keynote speakers and stuff, they were outside in the tent.
That, I think, I don't know. That, to me, so let's talk about that. I really think that needs to be rethought.
Then they've been doing that like that for quite a while. Some years it's inconvenient because the wind may blow across.
Well, and it's,
for the most part, it's not too bad.
It certainly wasn't terrible. I could hear you know, them okay. But, you know, like, who was it, Ted Nelson? Who was dependent on trying to have a good presentation, and, you know, half of us couldn't see it, and that was frustrating him.
He was demonstrating hardware, correct?
No, he was doing like website,
I'm thinking something else,
like, okay. Hypertext, different stuff, and that thing, and then, you know,
the only keynote that I watched was Stuart Chaffee. I really wanted to see that, and
which was good, but the tent's kind of dark. I wish they could at least lit it up, like
well,
shine lights up to
there.
The top.
They just didn't turn them on.
Yeah.
I guess they were afraid that it would start heating up.
Yeah, maybe so. Even though it was chilly, barely, but it was, you know, wouldn't have hurt anything. So one thing VCF East does that is different, they've been doing it this way for a while, that's different than our show, is that they only have one speaker per day, which they added a Friday show, which neither one of us got to go to. Right?
You didn't get there either. I was at work.
And that was John, the guy who invented the Kinbach one. John, I'm trying to get his last name. Blankenbaker, who invented the Kinbach personal computer. I'm really sorry I missed that. Hopefully they'll have the video up. So what they do is they have a speaker from 9:30 to 10:30, and everybody can show up and go to that. And then they open the exhibit hall, and now everybody can go there. And so that makes it where all the exhibitors can attend the talks.
Exactly. That makes it nice. There might be a few stragglers from the public that go through. But
yeah, oh yeah. But that's one thing we don't do. We try to have different talks throughout the show. And frankly, like, attendance was – it's been hard to always, you know, get good attendance, and most exhibitors can't go. So I think that we all are going to seriously consider doing that. Now, that means that we'd be limited to two special talks, two special speakers. But I kind of think that's the way to go. That's a better model.
What, just have the speakers at the beginning?
Yep. Open the show with the keynote speaker for the day, and then open the exhibit hall after that. I think that's a nice touch.
That way nobody, like, forgets that they have to attend a 2 o'clock speaker or something like that. That way.
The ones that we both saw, or the 2 days, you saw both. Yeah, you saw. So it was Stuart Chaffee.
I saw Stuart from his left side. You saw him from his right side.
So he was the host of the Computer Chronicles from the what was it, early 80s, early to mid 80s, you know, through the early 90s, and then Netcafe later on, the mid 90s, the internet age. And staple of PBS and, you know, computer.
Very long period of time he did it, and he discussed how all that came about, and it's just wonderful and amazing how it just continued on. He found the right thing at the right time, mm-hmm. you know, something people wanted to watch, and he had the resources and the position to do it, because didn't he say he was a station manager?
I think so. Yeah.
Station. So that gave him resources, and that gave him some authority to make decisions, to do something that he didn't have to answer to anybody else. So he pushed that vision through after he discovered what people like to see.
Especially, yeah, and it turned out it was actually a show that was local. I think he said San Jose area, the Silicon Valley area anyway. So it was local. Then
some of it was produced here in my area.
Yeah, they got high demand, and it grew out. So a really excellent talk and a really, good speaker. Of course, he was a host. A lot of fun stories and different stuff.
I didn't realize he was such a computer geek.
That was the other thing that came out of it.
Some of the shows you watch, it looks like he could care less about what was there. But I think that all started making sense when he talked about some of the behind-the-scenes stories.
Yeah, because right on air, it always seems like he was rushing everybody. Like, why don't you give him some more time? You're rushing through everything. Sometimes I'd felt that way watching
him.
And
what you don't see on that is they probably spent 30 minutes with the company president of the company that they're interviewing with. What did he say? The tech guy was like underneath the table.
Yeah, magic. Well, training them how to appear and not be selling, but informing, in a very precise, short manner.
Very enlightening, and it just kind of makes a lot of the shows make sense now.
And one pioneering thing that he was responsible for, and he told us about, was the fact that you can go to the Internet Archive and watch all these shows, that they basically gave them away to us, the public. And that is an awesome, awesome thing to do and a great resource. Tune into the Computer Chronicles in any particular time frame, and it's a time capsule of the industry.
Except for that first year, which was done live.
Right. He said they didn't record it or didn't keep them or whatever. So, but do yourself a favor. Go check that out. So he was on Saturday, and then on Sunday was Ted Nelson. And if you don't know who he is, he is kind of a computer visionary, technology industry visionary, very well known for a book published in 1974 called Computer Lib. For lack of a better term, kind of call him sort of intellectual hippie. Technology hippie was the thing. So, he came out of those late 60s, early 70 days, like the Mother Earth news and that sort of the counterculture of, the computer, the personal computer revolution and all that. Did you enjoy his talk?
I only saw Stuart Chaffee.
Oh, that's right. You didn't see him. Oh, okay.
No, that was, you said Sunday. It was the other one. That same weekend,
I called you out.
Project due. So I actually took that hour and sat at my table and did an hour's worth of my schoolwork.
Okay. Well,
in complete silence. And I also was able to take a picture of the room that my exhibit was in its complete silence, almost a reverent display of, I think that's how I worded it when I posted on Twitter, a reverent display of vintage computing.
Well, it was a good talk. He was a little annoyed because, he couldn't get his computer and the projector so to get the images, like you can mirror your screen or share it or whatever. And he was having problems with that. And then he also was frustrated knowing that a good half of people couldn't really see his screen anyway, and that his talk was dependent on that. And, so he's, a little bit frustrated, but I think overall John, well, I'm sure he's pretty old too, John, from the Kinbach. But I know that Ted Nelson and Stuart Chaffee, both these guys are like in their late 70s. So,
yeah, they're
a little bit grumpy.
Moving on, and it's good that they can keep the memory alive. And the more they pass it on to other people, the more hopefully it doesn't turn into one of those tell it down the line stories where 20 people later it's completely different.
But that's what we need to look out for is they videotape this and hopefully. That'll go up soon. It'll be in the VCF's East. I mean, I think once they upload Stuart Chaffee's talk and Ted Nelson, that'll bring a whole lot of attention, to the group there and the show. So now let's talk about attendance there. And you've gone the last couple of years. So
it's always been a whirlwind for me. I couldn't give you the exact numbers, but it stayed busy.
But the impression is that numbers were down. A little
bit. Yeah, I think technically they were down.
But good, not bad.
Still a lot of people coming in asking questions. I've gotten a few questions on my exhibit. And actually, I've learned stuff by talking to other people who come in because people have different experiences. Although my exhibit, I would classify in hindsight, very, very unique. A lot more people were asking me questions about it. And then I didn't even know fully what I had until I started spending time researching. And then I discovered, wow, I didn't realize that it did this, that, and the other. And we'll get into that when we talk about the exhibits.
But I think it was a solid show. And the numbers, you know, again, this is a informal talking to other people that seemed like attendance was down a little bit, but not much, you know, so still solid, you know, good show, good turnout. Let's see, we already talked about speakers. So go ahead and talk about exhibits.
I'll start, not out of vanity, but I'll start about mine. Mine was, I brought something very, I would say, rare piece or obscure piece from a company called Panasonic. We all know who Panasonic is, a consumer electronics company. They marketed a computer called the JR200U, and that is an 8-bit computer that, as people were asking me what it does, it's kind of like something between a Commodore VIC-20 and a Commodore 64. It kind of has the graphics and sound of the VIC-20, but some of the memory capacity and more powerful programming elements of the Commodore 64. And it was something that I owned for the longest time, and I haven't really gotten out of its box until shortly before the show. And at the show, it was running the longest amount of time I've ever had it plugged in and turned on. Both days it ran just fine. And I was able to load some games and stuff into it. But it's a really unique machine. I'm probably going to play around with it some more in the near future just to use it. But it was an example of something that was kind of rare, kind of obscure. People wouldn't normally or have not normally seen it. Similar to the lines of a Tomy Tutor, if you ever heard of that. The Tomy mm-hmm. Tutor is a little more popular.
Yeah.
But yeah, not everybody went out and bought a Tomy Tutor. It kind of had a niche market, or it was poorly marketed, and only a few people had access to it.
It's not a tumor.
It's not a, yeah. Oh, movie references. But I think I learned more about it than any of the exhibitors did. But I tried to answer questions as best I could, and if I couldn't find it, I did some research. That's what mobile phones are for, right? And, as people came around again, I was able to help answer their questions. So, and I think everybody who had exhibits were there to do that. That's typically what they do. There was a guy there who last year had a whole bunch of Apple IIs, but this year he had Apple II clones.
Yeah.
He showed all these different clones that were available from different countries and even bootleg ones and whatnot. And he also had an Apple II just so people can see the comparison. There was a group there that had PDP stuff. That was your group, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That was Kyle Owen from our group here.
Blinking lights and some interesting interfaces and interesting boards. Yeah, Kyle, my impression is that he's pretty smart with this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a younger person too. So, but he takes all this vintage computer stuff to heart, and he's talented with what I saw there. He's got good knowledge of the equipment.
I don't think you should take this personally, but he's a whole lot smarter than you are.
Oh, he probably is. Hey, that's
no offense.
Going to school.
Yeah, he's an engineering grad student. He's just like a year older than my oldest daughter, so it's like I think he's going to turn 24. He's 23, 24. But I've been doing this for a number of years and acquiring PDPs and some other stuff. And he totally restores them and fixes them. I mean, so he's, yeah, pretty amazing.
Yeah, I wish I had time to do some of that. But anyway, another exhibit that I wanted to see more of was the Hero Junior guy was demonstrating.
Oh, and it broke right after we...
Did it break?
Okay, yeah, I never got to see it run. I barely got to see it running around Saturday morning, and then the next thing I knew was, I don't know, sometime late Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, it was broken, and it never worked again.
Poor thing.
So, yeah.
Got to feed these things. And one group, the people who do the, what are they called, Trash Talk podcast, they were there with the TRS-80 on the net. They were demonstrating how you can get on Wikipedia. Both with a fully graphics compatible or capable TRS-80, and also with the chunky pixels, how it can display some images and stuff, and that was pretty interesting. So yeah, I got to meet the Trash Talk podcast people, and speaking of podcast people, there was somebody in the room that I was in that was connecting all sorts of modern electronics to Commodores and making lights blink and lights turn on and off and LEDs strobe. And that was, oh gosh, now I'm forgetting.
They should have ran him out of there.
Yeah. What was his name again? I forget.
I don't remember.
This podcast and forget. He's going to get mad because I forgot the name. And I may still have his business card. He printed up
business cards. I don't remember.
He had this big red button that was connected to a Commodore 64. And when you press it, it prints out a business card. And well, either way, he is one half of the Chicken Lips Radio podcast along with Earl Evans. Yeah, I remember his name.
He had a very excellent exhibit, though.
That was great. I mean, I like to see that. He was like hooking Arduino stuff up to Commodore 64 and using Commodore 64 interface. He's making things happen. And I can't find the business card he printed up for me. I'm a pack rat with a bunch of things, except...
What else? There is also...
if you remember anything,
I'm looking through some pictures, too, of a Xerox 820 CPM machine.
Oh, you love that one. Yeah,
it's kind of obscure. And most
guy was next to me. He was printing all sorts of stuff on his Daisy Wheel printer. That was neat.
It was pretty neat. Then there's a very nice Apple Lisa full setup with a profile, I mean, where it was all really clean and nice and worked. And he had an early Apple printer, which predated the original ImageWriter, but it was made by the same company. So that was totally new to me. I had never heard of that one. And there was two Apple Ones, and they were actually showing an Apple One working.
Yes, it was like a white glove. You know, they were using white gloves to handle that thing.
Oh, there was a man, and I'm pretty sure he was French. And then he had a bunch of French computers, right? Those are pretty interesting.
Did you see those? Yeah, that's right. They were on the other side of me. And I have a lot of pictures. I think I took a picture of every one of those. But they were showing to us would be foreign computers and of all types, all neatly hooked up to SCART interfaces because they can handle almost every type of video standard.
Oh, and then the Amiga guys, what are they called?
They are the Guru Meditation.
Yeah. You know, I never got a chance to really speak to them, and I feel bad about that because they're cool.
Oh, they are. They bring stuff. That's Bill and Anthony. I don't know if he calls himself Tony, but yeah, Bill and Anthony.
And then how about all those Commodore 64s that were all like, what were they running?
Network to play games.
Yeah. I'm looking at a picture of them. It's like, what is it? 8 of them, it looks like, in a row?
Were they playing Space Command?
There was two different exhibitors with DEC VAX machines, and that was pretty neat. Oh, and then it's a couple of DEC VAX. I'm sure there's more than that. And obviously, there's a lot more than that. I just can't think of them. So,
Doug, that's the name of the guy is it Doug or Chris?
There was
who was the other half of the Chicken Lips Radio podcast?
Oh, I don't.
Is it Doug?
Well, there's Earl Evans, and I don't.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
He's going to listen to this podcast, and he's going to.
Don't hate me.
He's going to talk about us and forget.
We were talking about this before we came on air. I mean, I'm not fully recovered just from
I've been listening to so many names. It's now a mix.
I didn't have to drive. All I had to do was ride, but it was like, you know, it was like 14 hours, you know, so 14 hours on Friday, then 14 hours on Monday coming back. So that ended up taking a lot out of me. So I still haven't sort of fully woken up, and I didn't really nap very much on the way. I mean, but anyway,
Todd.
Yep.
That's the name. Todd.
Oh, so there's also Herb Johnson's his name, Dr. S100, and he had a couple of different S100 machines, and he had that bus, like a bus tester card, where it plugs into the S100 bus, and it has the lights going and stuff. Did you see that?
Oh, kind of like those BIOS cards or whatever they had for PCs.
And there are a few other, terminals in S100.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to go to every single
setup.
Well, I had to man my booth.
So it was a good show. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the venue and the sort of, you know, it's not really the word I want to use, coziness, sort of the
Well, it's different. I mean, it's different from, you know, the only other one I've been at was VCF Midwest, and that's a big room where a lot of people move around and nobody sells anything. VCF East has the consignment area too, so
they
can bring stuff and, you know, and have it sold for 15% off the top.
That's right. So there's a consignment area, and there is quite a bit of activity in there. So you that is a rule of the Vintage Computer Federation that you can't sell on the exhibit floor. That's a bit of an item of contention, I think. Like,
it is, but it also allows people to see the exhibits without having to, you know, get in the middle of some bartering.
Well, right. But like our show, for instance, here, we also have a consignment area. So let's use another term. Let's call that the flea market area. So that is absolutely separate. But I guess we do things where we have a rule, not a rule, but, you know, if you're an exhibitor and then you happen to sell something, then that's okay. For instance, we interviewed Oscar. Okay. Right.
Yes.
Oscar was at our show here. And so he had his Pi DP8 on display with a couple other things. And he was in the exhibitor area. He was not in the consignment flea market area, because in art and the way we see things, we think that's appropriate. But I know there, I guess they would force him to be in the selling area versus exhibiting. So that's a minor debatable thing. So
it works out. I sold some stuff. I hope everybody enjoys what I had to sell.
You sold stuff?
I sold stuff.
In the exhibit area?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, not exhibit area. In the consignment area.
I'm going to let them know. I'm going to tell them.
You know, I was half thinking that if somebody offered me money for that Panasonic, I'd probably consider taking it. But I would say you'd have to wait till the end of the show, and, you know, I'll play by the rules and, you know, sell it through the consignment area.
So we found one video. Oh, I just started it up. It's pretty good. It's short. It's only a minute and 18 minutes, but it's a guy from the IEEE Spectrum, which I guess is sort of like a newsletter for them. Are you familiar with that at all?
It does sound familiar. I don't think I've read one directly, but it sounds familiar.
But there's a link in the show notes to a quick little YouTube video, and it's a nice little overview. So check that out. And then what's the other thing we found here? Oh, we found a write-up, a very short one. And, you know, the show just happened, so we'll see more of it. And
it started, then it ended, right?
This particular write-up is from his name's Bob Applegate, and he was in the vendor area called Corsham Technologies, and he had the SWTPC reproductions.
Oh, that's right. That's the guy who had those cards.
We had an entire computer, entire reproduction. Cards
sale.
So in other words, so, you know, there's a couple different ways of categorizing this stuff. So in this case, these are, how would you say this? These are compatible reproductions. So they are reproductions.
Kind of like your PDP, your Pi DP8.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it is absolutely a PDP8 with software and other stuff, but it's not, you know, it's not a total real reproduction, which, you know, like some of the Apple ones and stuff, they look exactly like a real Apple one in function. And then you have some like the Breel replica one is a work-alike. It doesn't look anything like a real Apple one, but it functions like one. You know, it's a reproduction. So this doesn't look anything like the real one. It's all new components, but it's bus compatible. So it is a real one. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Plus it has additional features. I talked to him just for a little bit until I was called off to try to, somebody wanted to offer me a deal on my stuff that was on the table nearby. So, you know, my understanding is he added additional capabilities to that system, like an enhanced ROM or something like that.
Yeah. So that's really cool where he's like reproducing old machine, and then you can use parts and updates us for your real ones and go back and forth. And so anyway, check that out. He had a little short wrap up. Apparently he's going to be at the Midwest show, he says here.
Still don't know if I'm going to be there or not.
You better.
I'd like to.
I don't know if I will be either.
It's a travel thing. And now you know what it's like to travel about 1,000 miles or 900 miles, 800 miles.
And you, Jeff, were having dinner with your lovely wife, which
yes,
you owed her that. So I was looking for pictures for the East show. Did not find any. But guess what?
What I could get. I also have some pictures of the InfoAge machines, too, the one in the museum.
Well, I couldn't find any that were uploaded. So I uploaded mine. So there's a link in the show notes to some of the pictures I took. So at least you have something you can look at. And one of them's from the restaurant. I need to take off. I guess I could leave it there. It won't hurt anything. But
I have all the pictures that those French computers.
Oh, yeah. Those are neat.
I got close-ups of every one of those.
So anything else you want to say about East?
No, I think we burned up the 30 minutes we wanted to use. Now we're going to burn
good
up
good night, everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, now it will probably end up going a little faster here because I won't be able to remember as much because it's almost a month ago. So anyway, VCFSE happened April 2nd and 3rd, Saturday and Sunday. So that was here and you know, where I work, the Computer Museum of America. So again, the venue is different because it's in a former CompUSA. But this particular CompUSA was the regional headquarters. So there's also this office space that's next to it, which is now, it's one big venue now. So that's the Apple Pop-Up Museum. And, anyway, so it was in a big space. So the venue is kind of different. Still a great show space, just different. So not like I like one or the other better. But
so they left the CompUSA logo on that building.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, why not?
So now about attendance here, it also was down a little bit. It was still a pretty good turnout. I think the numbers were like close to 400 maybe for Saturday. But then like Sunday was only like 80. So that was really slow on Sunday. But, you know, still, I think, a success. But yeah, we were trying to figure out why was attendance lower. And I think some of the conclusions we came to, well, it was a weekend in front of spring break here. So that couldn't help too much. And so, you know, also there's a lot of discussion about these two particular shows being so close to each other. Last year, I think they were a month apart. And this year, they're 2 weeks apart.
That's always been the issue. And I think Southeast always gets, you know, the bad end of that.
Yeah, maybe. So I'm hoping next year that, in my opinion, I think it'd be good. Again, it's just my opinion of pushing our show earlier. Yeah. So hopefully maybe there's four main shows right now. If they're approximately in each quarter, that would work out real well. So you'd have first in the year, let's say VCFSE in mid-March. I'm just throwing that out there. And then you got, but still it's only a month away, I guess. So maybe actually late February, but then maybe late March for VCF East. And then unlike this year, you'd have Midwest. Well, would be around the same time, August. But then unlike this year, I'm sorry, September, I'm getting all confused. But like the Midwest and West show are only like a month apart. But hopefully then maybe West would be slightly later out in the year.
Being in September, the school still, actually, my youngest will be done with school unless he's working full time. You know, he might be able to. Well, he went last year because I was able to get him some time off school, but that was one of those things I had to work out with his school. This year, yeah, it shouldn't be an issue.
So, as far as the speakers at Vintage Computer Festival at Southeast, we had a lot of good ones. And so first one was on Saturday was Jerry Manock, who is an industrial designer for Apple. And I got to see most of his, you know, I was staff, of course, so I didn't get to see everybody. And that's a bad thing, right? You think you kind of expect the staff to show up and be there. But he had a lot to do with the design of the Apple III, then the Macintosh. So excellent talk and had a pretty decent turnout. And then after him was Ray Holt, who was a computer pioneer with some of the earliest microprocessors, but for the military. So I guess he didn't get quite as much credit for that as Intel.
No spec processors, yeah.
But you know, that's a kind of a shame. And then you had Bill Hurd on Sunday, and you know he is from Commodore.
Yeah, I didn't see much of him at VCF East. It's where he usually hangs out.
Yeah, I guess because he came to ours.
Dave Haney.
And then you had David Larson that had the Bug Book Historical Microcomputer Museum in Floyd, Virginia. And I didn't get to see all of his talk, but Lonnie Mims had just purchased. So we just purchased his entire collection, incorporating it into ours. So that's a big part of the inventory thing. And then
it was assimilated, huh?
And then Randy Kindig and myself did a reading of Stan Veit's book. And then Mary Hopper from, what does she call her now? The Digital Den and yeah, you know, she's trying to start up a group and a museum and all that in Boston, and she didn't get a big turnout. So this is kind of the problem, I think, with, you know, and then again, Sunday was really slow too. So, you know, but there you go. We had good speakers. Just that's something that we really got to think about.
But you got your Piety P8 too.
Yeah. Right. That was great because I had one on order. So Oscar was at our show this year. We was at the East one last year. And so I asked him at the end, I said, hey, Oscar, maybe I could just buy your display here. You don't got to take it back to Switzerland. So
you can always ask, right?
Yeah. So I bought one of the ones he had on display. And then at East, I got to actually play around with it. So now I know how to do some little bit of stuff with it. I can run basic on it and make the lights blink. And it's interesting, if you just run any kind of little simple basic program, it really makes the lights go. But if you use an input statement and then you have it sitting there ready, you know, waiting on an entry, it makes a series of lights just track across on, I think it's the, I'm trying to look at it from a distance, the accumulator, I think, lights. They kind of go in a pattern across, so waiting.
The accumulator stays busy when it's waiting for input. Interesting.
I think so. I believe so. I'm looking.
Yeah, I was looking at. That's right. You did show me that, and I thought that was pretty neat how it does that. I don't know the specifics of what made it work, but it's neat that.
Oh yeah, I did show it. Right, it's going. Yeah.
Does that while it's waiting for the input? So I guess that must be the nature of the system, and not some trick.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. I'm looking at Oscar's write-up on the
Yep, and he did Southeast. A nice write-up.
And I'm looking at the picture he took of the TI-99-4A setup. Whoever did that did a wonderful job on that presentation.
Mm-hmm. And so Oscar's well-featured in our talk today.
And that wasn't his TI-99 stuff, was it? That was somebody else's. He just was running around taking pictures for his own write-up.
Oh, right.
But I do notice that people at the Southeast did a really nice job of displaying and presenting their items. I'm not saying that East didn't have any bad ones. It's just they are different than what East had.
Mm-hmm.
So there's ideas of all types everywhere. Oh, you even have some old typewriters.
Yeah, so you're looking at the pictures that
Underwood
actually...
Underwood typewriters, yeah. I got a couple of those. Actually, my wife has a couple of those.
Kyle Owen, you know, the PDP kid. He's an adult, but you know, well, kid, didn't call him a kid. He took these pictures, so we're linking to his album. But yeah, so you can check out some good pictures. Not everything, but check it out.
Yeah, it's some really good stuff there. Maybe I will have to try to go next year.
You need to.
How long's the drive?
From you?
Well,
oh,
how about from East, and then I can probably
pure,
think about
pure driving time, just actual behind the wheel. I think it's roughly 12 hours.
Yikes. Okay.
So, yeah. So, of course, you know how it is. You got to stop. And you know, me personally, I
could probably take the train.
That's not something I could, you know, I would never drive that long in one day. I just wouldn't do
it. You know, my son will be out of school and he can drive. He's old enough to drive.
So there was a good display of, so Oscar was there with his PyDP8s, and he's working on an 11. A PyDP 811. So he had, I think, did he have like a prototype there? I think so. There was a good, like some Amigas there, oscilloscopes, calculators.
I like the calculators, like the programmable calculator displays.
And then we, if you look in the pictures, you can see where there's a PDP, real PDP 12 and 15.
Yeah, and it's green and yellow.
Yeah.
Glory.
And these were set up. As a lab, like they were originally, they were donated. And, of course they weren't on, they were restored to the extent of really looking good and being clean and being like displayed properly. They're not on because that would take in a lot more work, but that's pretty neat
is
too.
Actually, is that part of
Oh, you're Cylon-ing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Big time. Tell those kids, get off. What?
Yeah. Is it still doing that?
A little bit. One of the labs was, I don't know if you can see it, but one of the pictures here, it kind of looks like a bunch of weird equipment. I'll call it that, where it's clearly not PDP stuff, but goes along with the one lab. This is actually an animal testing facility is where it came out of. And you can just see it to the left edge of the picture of the PDP with the yellow and kind of red brownish, you know, the color strip along the top.
Yeah.
Says shows the computer name. And there's like this... you know, blue green sort of thing in the right sort of out there. That's where the rats went inside there.
Okay. So it's probably a data logger or something.
So yeah. But pretty neat. Oh yeah, there's a close up of the PDP 12 with the lime green controls and all that. All right, so let me get back to the notes here. So so you have Oscar's write up. There's also a nice little video on YouTube called Sights and Sounds of the Vintage Computer Festival Southeast 4. Of course, the pictures. Oh, and then we did a joint podcast, and there's a link to that on Floppy Days with Randy Kindig. And so we also had John from the Retro Maccast. And now I'm going to feel bad because let me go there real quick. Who else was there? And of course, he doesn't say.
No, he doesn't.
Now I feel like a jerk.
Well, I don't remember. Now you have to listen to it to find out. So,
but it was pretty good. It was kind of a lot of fun. So what else do I need to say about it?
A lot more than VCF West, because we don't have anything for that yet.
Yep. Well, we have a date. So VCF West is scheduled for August 6th and 7th, and that would be the first one in 9 years. And, of course, it's at the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California.
I heard people at East, like the general public, coming in, and some people were asking, when is VCF West? So.
Oh, and some people think maybe numbers were down a little bit at our shows because of that, which I don't know. I mean, it's possible.
Maybe, you know, it was the first nice weekend in a long time in the area.
Yeah.
People probably just wanted, they probably had,
it was like that here too. It was a super nice weekend.
It happens. Last year it was a little colder. I know, because my table was right near a door that everybody walked in and out of.
Oop, still there? Uh-oh. Lost Jeff. Can you hear me? All right. Wow.
So we just segued to Midwest, right?
We're back. Yeah. So then about a month later after West is, so the 10th and 11th of September in the Chicago area. And so you're trying to go to that too, right? Excuse me. So,
well, you twist my arm.
So you may or may not be able to go there.
I'd love to go to all these shows. What it comes down to is vacation time and funding.
Yeah.
The further away from home I am, the more it costs me.
And I saw that
you have a tent in your backyard. I'll just sleep there.
The Vintage Computer Federation did not have the dates there. They said that it was, or I forget what they said. They didn't have the dates. But then I went to the site and I found that the VCF Europa in Munich actually do have dates posted. So in fact, they are just a little over a week from now, April 30th and May 1st.
I'm definitely not going to make that.
So you have time, Jeff. You can make it. I don't know what you have over a week.
You know, if you put it in Edinburgh, Scotland, my wife would be dragging me there personally.
Well, and then there's
visit Scotland, so they need to put it in Scotland somehow.
There is the VCF UK at Bletchley Park, and it is not. They do not have a date posted for this year. So, of course, we're only in April, so it could happen. But so wait for that. So there you go. Those are the VCFs that go on. Of course, there used to be a Southwest in Texas. I want to say it was in the greater Dallas area, maybe. But then I guess they kind of had a low turnout, like the second or third year or something, and they stopped doing it. But, you know, so obviously we need one in Seattle area. It just seems like a natural there should be
no,
one.
No, you know, I don't think so, because Seattle got all sorts of other fun stuff going
on. Pacific Northwest. Need... Well, or how about Portland? Portland, then.
Portland, same there. Thing.
And then, of course, it needs to be a North Dakota show.
Actually, that would probably be one that you can have, because it's a little west than Midwest, but really, that would be an area. Or Montana.
Yeah, yeah. But also, actually, in all seriousness, too, maybe Toronto. That's where they have that one pet group.
Or the T-Pug.
Yeah. But there you go. That's it. So we had a good time. I had a good time at our show. Had a good time at your show. I'll call it. Here at the Southeast, got to have dinner the first night with my wife and John from the Retro Maccast and his wife, and also a friend of his that came with him. They're local. That's right. And his wife. And so that was nice. Oh, and Adam Rosen. From Boston, and the Macintosh. I can't think straight. I know it's not called the Macintosh Museum, but it's like that. Vintage Mac Museum. I think it's called the Vintage Mac Museum.
One thing that really became that clear was nice to me with my third, this being my third VCF East attendance and my fourth attendance at a VCF event, is that in one way it's a close knit community. But at the same time, if you're just there visiting, you can run across a lot of the names that are in this hobby,
yeah.
Some of the bigger names that are in this hobby, and they'll talk to you one-on-one just like, you know, anybody else. Unless they're paid keynote speakers, they, you know, they have an they have a daily agenda. They have things that you got to do during the day. But those who are really into the vintage computers and stuff, that most likely when they want to demonstrate them, they'll have their own table, and so you'll be able to talk one-on-one with them and learn more about, you know, what it is they worked with. So it's an interesting community of people, and you're not going to see the same thing at every one of the shows. You mm-hmm. do have to get to the other shows to see the variety.
Yeah, I think it's kind of nice too that they're regional, you know, to a certain extent. And so it kind of, you know, it makes them different enough. See, and I also think that's what's kind of nice about them just being different, you know, and that, because by different people running them.
It's not a cookie cutter.
They're not homogenized. Yeah. So,
okay. Your word's better. You win. That's the 50 cent word.
You can read into that. But, they're also at the East show. There was a Jason Scott sighting.
Yes. I saw the hat.
So what was that about? He just like stopped in.
I don't know. I just saw him going back and forth through things. Somebody told me who he was. I would have never recognized him, but I just saw him going back and forth.
This is trademark.
Unfortunately, I didn't stop and talk to a lot of people. Although there were a couple people that gave us kudos on our podcast.
We're stars.
Apparently, where's my Hall of Fame star? Or Walk of Fame, right? Where has it put a star on like the punch tape? That'll be our marquee.
And you and I had lunch together.
Yes, at what was it? Anthony's.
Was it?
Yeah. Yes, I had a I had a chicken Caesar wrap, and you ate pizza with a knife and fork.
Yeah.
Yeah, believe me, other people do that.
I had buffalo chicken pizza and what was the other one? It was really
barbecue
good.
Barbecue chicken pizza.
Yeah. No. Was it barbecue? Yeah, it was really good though.
I think you had, like, there was chunks of barbecue chicken on one and buffalo chicken on the other.
Yeah, I have a picture of it that I sent my wife.
There you go.
Careful not to have that upload in the pictures. But
you got to tweet your food.
Maybe I should. That might get the most comments. Add that picture of the pizza.
Was that a regional food that you tried?
No.
Okay, so you've had that before.
Yeah. I hadn't had buffalo chicken pizza before, though. So
it's good.
I mean, it was good. It wasn't something that's like, you know.
It wasn't astounding.
I didn't prefer it or anything, but
that's not a bad place to eat. The price is right and stuff, and it's close to the venue, so that was one of the recommended places. The other ones I couldn't find where to get to. I just saw Anthony's versus. Okay,
Kevin
said, and
yeah,
you know,
we also went to a Saturday night. We all of us went out. So anybody that wanted to buy a ticket, exhibitors and people at the show, we all went to a big dinner, which was pretty good. Nice little get together. It was like 60 people. And I was joking around that it was at an Irish pub at the Jersey Shore. So what could go wrong?
Exactly. That's right. You don't expect to see that.
Yeah,
if you were there the night before, you would have went to. No, that was exhibitors only. So, were you considered an exhibitor, or were you considered an attendee?
I was attendee.
Okay, but other people were exhibitors.
And I could have gotten away with not paying, but I paid my ticket price.
I had to pay too.
But why? When you're an exhibitor,
that's just how it is. I think first time exhibitors don't have to pay.
Well, you paid for your table, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Not the entrance fee, right?
No, I just paid the one. I think it was $25 for me for both days.
Yeah, I paid more than that.
I mean, it's not like some fat cat is going to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It goes to the venue.
But it has gone up quite a bit.
It has, yeah, inflation.
Because our show, it's like, you know, let's face it, most people are probably coming one day, just normal off the street people. But it's like it's $10 a day or $15 for both days. So it was double. It was $30 for both days.
They had to pay for the talent.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were good. They were good
I'm
talks.
I'm pretty sure they pay for the keynote speakers.
So, Liz, I hear all that noise. They're partying up at your place.
Oh, that's my daughter joking about something.
Well, let's wrap it up. I need to go eat dinner.
Okay. I already ate.
So next time we'll be back on normal track with eBay show 12, and it'll be released on Friday, May 6th. We'll continue. continue and end our coverage of the first portables, the Luggables. So we'll be talking about the Compaq Portable, the Commodore SX64, and then perhaps some other miscellaneous Luggables. What were you saying?
That was my favorite, Commodore SX64.
Oh, yeah, me too. I still have one. It's the oldest. It's like the oldest one in my collection. So it was like one of the early ones I got, and I still have it. So find all our show notes at historyofpersonalcomputing.com. Send us feedback, especially send us some feedback about this show. If you went to either one of these shows and you're listening, drop us a quick email or record yourself and send it to us.
Give us your opinion, your critique. What did you like? What did you not like?
I'd love to hear other people's critique. Send us a review of either show or both. Would be really great. The play, the play. You can write it, we'll read it or record it. And you can send it to Jeff or send it to me or send it to feedback@historyofpersonalcomputing.com. And tell more people about us. And that's it for this episode. So remember, let the buyer beware. See you next time.
See ya.
Check my feet.